Acts chapter number 20. Good to be back in our own place. Amen. Acts chapter 20. And we're going to look in verse number 17 to where we're going to start reading. And I'm going to preach to you this morning about all season Christianity. All season Christianity. Some of you fellas have got all season tires on your car. That's so you can drive them in all kinds of weather. Mud, say amen right there. Mud, snow, rain, whatever the case may be, an all-season tire. Well, what we need is all-season Christians, all-season Christians. Amen. Let's look in verse 17. It says, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." That verse bears reading again. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." So he wants to finish his course, and he wants to make sure the gospel is preached, the gospel of the grace of God. And so he didn't count his life dear to himself, but really the thing that God has called him to do. Amen? And so I just go ahead and give you the basic summed up idea of the sermon right here at the start. The most important things in life is really not the things, or shouldn't be the things that you want to do, or even the things that are against you, the negative stuff. The negative stuff always gets a very prominent place in our lives. I can't do it because of this. I can't do it because of that. Well, Paul had to walk everywhere he went, and everywhere he went, people was trying to kill him. I don't think you can get much more adversity than that, amen? And maybe people aren't trying to kill you, but everybody's not on the same page you are, are they? And a lot of times the people that are mad at you is because you won't do it their way. Ain't that right, husbands? Amen? Your wife loves you, but she wants you to do it her way. And ain't that right, wives? Amen? Husbands and wives, that's one of the biggest problems that they got. They think that a little bit of disagreement is the end of the world or adversity. Amen? Well, amen. Yeah. That's exactly right. Well, you can live with that.
Yeah.
Well, my wife thinks I'm stupid. Well, you can live with that. Amen?
Sure.
Some of you have lived with it for several years now. You're still alive.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. Well, there's a way things should be. There is a way things should be. But then there's a way it is, too. Amen. You can live through it. Some of it might... Listen, some of this hardship and adversity you're going through might turn out to be to your advantage, might turn out to be to your reward one of these days. You're thinking, boy, if things would just go the way it ought to go, everything would be okay. It's going to be okay anyway. Some of you are going to be at odds with one another and have hardships, and not a lot of people in your family are going to walk the same way you're walking if you're trying to walk for the Lord. Everybody's not going to go with you, and everybody's not going to agree with you. And then you can believe the Bible and try to live according to the Bible, and another man can have the same idea. I love the Bible. I'm going to try to live with the Bible. And you and him be at odds with one another. You got to work at peace. That's why he said, as much as lieth in you, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Some people are just too stupid to live in peace with. Did you know that? I mean, we all judge the world by our own estimation, and everybody doesn't measure up to us. Now, somebody else is you're looking at somebody else like they're learning impaired. And you're so focused on them that you don't see the man over here that's looking at you like you're learning impaired. Amen. So we focus on these things. If everybody would just live up to my standard. Somebody's wishing you would live up to their standard. The problem is, people that get stuck in that rut of trying to make everybody like them or trying to live up to somebody else's standard. There's only one standard you got to live up to, and that's the Word of God. And in the course of that, there's going to be trouble enough. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof, was the words of wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have enough problems throughout the day to keep you busy. Amen? But in the meantime, in the meanwhile, the purpose doesn't change. Trials, temptations are going to come. But the job, there are still things that's required to be done. And the hardship doesn't make the requirement go away. Amen? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. And I pray, God, that you'd help us as a church. I pray you'd help us as individuals, God, to live more for you. And not just to say that and just come to church and think that we are living for you. But help us to take the words of this book and apply it to our lives. And live our lives for you, for your benefit. Not just in all seasons, but in every day of every season. And I thank you and praise you for what you do. Bless the word. Lord, use your word and use your preached word to benefit the hearts and lives of those that believe on you. And Lord, if there be one that's not believing on you, I pray, God, you'd work a work in their heart, a work that I don't understand and a work that I can't hardly comprehend. But I know that you're able to change that heart and change that life. And I thank you for doing it here this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, let's read it again. Verse number 18. When they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. And so, I say, listen, if you're saved this morning, we need some Christians that'll be Christians all the time. All the time. At all seasons. And those seasons are going to come. And it's just like me and Brother Pedro were talking this morning about the seasons and how the seasons are changing and have been changing for a few days now. But they're going to come. The seasons are going to come. There's no way. There's no way in the world to stop the seasons. You may as well, you'd have an easier time getting out there in a spaceship and grabbing a hold to the earth and stopping its rotation than you would making the seasons stop coming. It'd be easier to get a Frenchman in heaven than to stop the seasons. It really would. They're going to come, amen. In a few weeks it'll be cooler, and who knows? Last year we even had a little bit of freezing rain and sleet here in southeast Georgia. You say, what is that? Well, we live down here next to the equator. It's supposed to be hot all the time, but the season came anyway, didn't it? Listen, sometimes it'll be so subtle that you won't even think it's there. For example, I'm not a Southeast Georgia boy. I'm a Virginia boy. And when we have winter up there, we have winter up there. Amen? It's cold in them mountains. And listen, get down here in Southeast Georgia, and we were here for 9 years before it really got cold. I mean, get down to about 55 here, and people start putting on their sweaters and stuff. Oh, it's getting chilly, ain't it? No, it ain't getting chilly. 50 degrees is a nice day, man. It's a nice day. And when it gets down to 30 degrees at night, you think, this is cold. Man, get up, live in one of them cabins like I grew up in where the wind blows through the cracks and says, I'm going to freeze you. That's what the wind says when it comes in the house. That's what I'm coming in here to get you. That's cold. And there's snow drifting through the cracks of the house and getting on the floor. Man, that's cold. Having to get up in the morning, and you don't think I'm old enough to do this, but we had to do this when I was a boy. Have a nice snow come in. You know, hey, I said the seasons come. Certain physiological seasons come, amen? I mean, just because there's a foot of snow on the ground don't mean you stop the bodily processes. I remember getting up in the morning and have to go out through the snow, walk down through the path to the outhouse. We had an outhouse in our house when we was little kids. Amen. The mountains up there is about 10, 20 years behind you folks. But at any rate, went up that, listen, hey, just because there's a foot of snow on the ground don't mean that you can put everything else on hold. Amen. Well, I was here 9 years before I ever seen any eyes. I rather enjoy it because I like warm weather myself. But see, you go through one winter and there's nothing, and two winters and there's nothing, and three winters and no hardship. Four winters, no problem, man. Five winters, hey, I can get used to this Southeast Georgia sun, boy. But eventually, that ice is going to fall. Amen? And you go through your Christian life, you're happy and saved and sanctified and got a Bible you can depend on and trust. I can tell you the tears are going to come one day. The hardships and trials are going to come someday. And so you're not going to be able to live one season kind of a life all your day. You think, I got saved, now I'm just going to be happy forevermore. Some of you ladies, you think, well, my husband finally got right with the Lord, so we ain't going to have no more problems. He's still as dumb as a rock. He's saved by grace. He's saved by grace, not by getting smarter.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Well, I got my wife finally got right with the Lord, so we are. No, she's still a woman.
Yeah.
And all the stuff that goes on, I'm gonna stay safe this morning. Yeah. I'm just saying, all the stuff that goes along with being a woman, that's still her. I mean, she's protected by the grace of God now, but things are going to be rough in your life, man. You're going to have problems. You're going to have stuff that you don't like. But you're going to have to be a Christian at all times. And I could get, you know, kind of personal and start talking about you got to be a husband at all times and you got to be a wife. But listen, if you be a Christian at all times, you'll be the wife that you ought to be. Your conscience will start bothering you. Amen? If you're a Christian that you ought to be, you'll be the husband that you ought to be. You'll eventually get over to Ephesians chapter 5. At the rate you read the Bible, it might be 10 years from now. But eventually, you'll get over to Ephesians chapter 5, and it'll say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Amen.
Sure.
But see, that's, you say, well, I sacrificed for my family last month. That ain't good enough. Well, once upon a time, I stuck my neck out and really did something brave or really did something in the vein of responsibility for my family. Hey, man, you're married. It's all the time now. Hey, you're a Christian. It's Bible all the time now. Amen? You're saved. It's prayer all the time now. Hey, you're saved. It's telling people about the Lord all the time now. Well, that'll make me a fanatic. Well, you was a fanatic before. Would you rather be a fanatic for Jesus or a fanatic for Eminem? Or AC/DC? Or Creedence Clearwater Revival? I'm trying to get a couple of generations here, amen? We're blessed with some younger folks in this church. I really like that. I really like that we got a church that's got some young folks in it, but we got to cover all the bases, amen? Amen? A fanatic for Hank Williams. I don't know anybody back further than that, so I've got to stop right there. Amen. I don't think we've got any Beethoven fanatics in here. Nobody that old. Amen. I don't think there's nobody that old, but I'll tell you what. Well, Tori is. Well, but she's not that old. Amen. You were a fanatic for somebody. You'd stand up and shout for somebody before you got saved. You'd say amen for somebody before you got saved. Well, I tell you what, you really know that you're getting into being real, experiencing real Christianity when you can say amen and hallelujah. And basically by that, I mean, have that joy in your heart and that glory in your heart, even in the bad times. Look what he says here. He says, servant, he says, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. But he don't just stop there. He tells you what he's talking about. He says, all seasons, serving the Lord with humility of mind. And, he says, with many tears and temptations. What was the tears and temptations? He said, the Jews are trying to kill me everywhere I go. And you're probably not running into a band of Jews that are trying to kill you for being a Christian, but you do run into folks that disagree with you. In Paul's case, number one, they were against him because their religion was different. Number two, I believe he also had a problem with people because he used to be with one of them, and now he's with somebody else. You fellas ever have a girl in high school, she dumped you for the high school quarterback? She was with you, now she was somebody else. What'd that make you feel like? Make you feel like buying him a Coke after school? You ladies, you did have the high school football quarterback, but once he got popular, he dumped you for one of the best-looking cheerleaders. How'd that make you feel? Made you feel like pouring sugar in his gas tank. Don't anybody do that. At least not. Don't say that I gave you the idea if you did it. There's a vengeance there. That's what Paul was going through. He was with one crowd and he changed crowd and they didn't like it no more. Listen, some of you, when you got saved, your friends are against you now. And the degree to which you care about that is the degree to which you tell them about the Lord. If you know they don't like you because of that, you may not be witnessing to them. Or you might just be a Christianity. You might just be a Christian at all seasons and tell them about the Lord whether they like it or not. They need it, whether they like it or not. Amen. They need. Listen, some of you got family members that are drunkards. They need you to tell them the truth, whether they like it or not. They don't like to hear that that lifestyle is going to kill them, but they need it. And they ain't but one cure for it, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless you say, well, they need to be a better person and quit drinking. They can't be a better person. People can't be better persons. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, that's what they need. Well, they'd be better if they had Jesus. That's the only way they could be better. There's no more options than that. But so he says, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I had been with you at all seasons. And he says, I've had many tears. And he said, I've had many temptations. He says, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. I was once on their side, but I'm not anymore. So they hate me for it. They hate me for it. Some of your friends, no doubt, is going to say, oh, they started going to church and got religion. Now they're holier than thou. Man, they don't understand, do they? We're not holier than thou. We're nothing.
Right.
We're nothing.
Right.
Hey, we're not telling people to quit sinning because we're looking down on them. We want to get them out of the danger of it.
Sir.
We want that sin to quit choking them out and killing them.
Right.
It's a position of compassion, not bigotry.
Right.
The bigot says, you're not good enough to hang around with me. Hey, the Christian says, if you're going to hang out with me, you're going to have to get some better principles, because the principles you've got is killing. And I don't know about you, but I don't want no death rubbing off on me.
Yes.
Amen. I don't want that affecting my children. Don't want that affecting the congregation of the church that I attend. I don't want that stuff. It's not that I'm a bigot and better than you. I'm probably worse than you. But I'm saved by one that's much greater than we are. Anybody, any of us. Amen. Don't none of us measure up to the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you start talking like that, people just naturally take it as he's against us or I'm against them or whatever the case may be. And that's what the Jews were saying. We got to go kill him now. And listen, they did their best to kill him, but I got good news for you. If the Lord don't want you dead, they're not going to kill you.
Right. Right.
Amen. Well, they're going to ruin my reputation. Let them ruin your reputation. They can't ruin your soul.
Right. Yeah.
What do we care about a reputation with the world anyway?
Yeah. Right.
Amen. I'll tell you one thing. I don't want Michael Jackson thinking well of me. Not unless I led him to Christ. Amen. The church has something they need. They don't have anything the church needs.
Amen.
Amen. They need Jesus. Amen. They need Jesus. Well, let's look at this thing in order now. You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Well, have you ever noticed in the Christian life that you get saved and you know that you're a sinner and that kind of brings you low? And then as you begin to read chapters and you begin to memorize verses, your opinion of yourself begins to pick up again. And the Christian life is like this. You're humble and then you get a little proud and you get humbled and then you get a little proud and then you get humbled and then you get... And boy, the way that ought to be is a person ought to say, I'm nothing and I need to be saved, and humble yourself. And the Bible says you humble yourself and the Lord will exalt you in due season. At the right time, the Lord will exalt you. But he's not going to exalt your glory. And he's not going to exalt your greatness. And he's not going to exalt your intellect. He's going to exalt the work that he's doing in you.
Right.
And so that when a Christian humbles himself, he ought to be humble at all seasons. And the season could be a time of humility. Like when you think you're a great Christian, you've got all the verses memorized and you do something despicable. That'll humble you. But sometimes humility is involuntary. Voluntary humility is better. But sometimes it's involuntary. I mean, you voluntarily sin, but you think you're going to get some kind of excitement or some kind of joy out of this sin you give in to, but all that comes out of it is, man, I really feel bad about myself for that. And the psychologist will say, well, you never should feel bad about yourself. I find it's the only way to get help. Encouraging you to feel good about yourself when you're not doing what you ought to do is eventually going to encourage you to keep doing the bad stuff you're doing. It's a built-in safety mechanism, Brother Tommy, that when you do something bad, you feel bad about it. And if you ain't got enough sense to feel bad about it, God's sent by a preacher and calls you to repentance. We just read it. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Humility, you can't live without it. You can't live without it. So you'll have those times when you're messing up bad, and that'll be humbling. But there's also going to be a season when you have some success. Hey, got to win somebody to Christ. Preached the best sermon ever preached in my life. Hey, got the best church there is. All these things, I mean, that's the way people look at things. Hey, I'm a great deacon now, and I've got, listen, those are high times for sure. And I quit doing this thing and it's such a wonderful time in my life. Hey, glory, that's good. Glorify those things. But remember, stay humble at all seasons. Success is just another season that we should remain humble. You brag about it and boast about it, you not only lose your reward, but wind up in a mess. Nothing deceives a man more than pride. The Bible says pride, what does it say? Goeth before the fall. Pride leads to destruction. Amen. A haughty spirit before the fall. That's exactly what is going to take place in your life. You're going to, even with Christian accomplishment, there's still a need for humility. Boy, look, I memorized 12 chapters in the Bible. What a wonderful, it is a wonderful thing. I'm glad you was able to do that. Just stay humble about it. Amen. Oh, now, hey, did you memorize 12 chapters? Put it to good use. Bragging about it is not one of the good uses. Hey, listen, if you memorize 12 chapters, come tell me about it. I want to know. Amen? I am sick and tired about hearing about people's failures. I would love to hear that you led somebody to the Lord. I would so much rather have you come say, Brother Mike, I just memorized another chapter. And I would rejoice. I mean, I'd rather hear that than, hey, Brother Mike, I just cheated on my wife. See where I'm going with that? So there's nothing wrong with glorifying God and thanking God for what He's done and testifying about the fact of what the Lord's doing in your life. But don't let that thing elevate your mind up above where it ought to be. The Bible says that when a man begins to think he's standing, a lot of times that's when he falls. Amen? Take heed, the Bible says, lest you fall. The potential for falling, you know as well as I do, a lot more dangerous at high than it is at low areas. Amen? I built this little thing in the backyard, and I built it about 2 years ago. This is silly. This is not really sermon material. But about 2 years ago, I realized that I wasn't putting my shoes on standing up. When I was a boy, and I think we especially learned to do this in the Marines, in the morning time, in boot camp, you had to be dressed in 30 seconds. When they started beating on the trash cans, in 30 seconds, you had to be on that line dressed with your boots tied and your those utilities, blouse, and everything had to be in order. 30 seconds, man. So you get up, you don't sit down on the edge of your bed. Fiddle for your shoes, and you get up and throw everything on, throw your boots. About 2 or 3 years ago, I recognized I couldn't stand up and put my boots on anymore. I had to sit down to you lose your balance. So I went out in the backyard and I took a couple of 4x4 posts and I built a balance beam. Some of these gymnastic girls, Brother Mike got a balance beam. And I did that just to get up there and walk back and forth across it. You say, what did that do? I can put my shoes on standing up now. But you know, I can fall off of that thing, just hit the ground, no problem. No problem at all. But when Brother Allen was building a gym up there in Delaware, and they were building that big metal building that had those I-beams, this fellow was walking back and forth across those I-beams 60 feet off the ground. You think Brother Mike did that? No, sir. Now listen, that 4x4 post that's 2 foot off the ground is that wide. And I can walk back and forth on it all day. Had to practice a little bit. After you get 40, things are not the same. But right now, I can walk across those little 4x4 beams, no problem. Just walk back and forth across it, no problem. That I-beam's about that wide. 60 foot in there, I'm not getting on it for nothing. So, Brother Mike, but you can walk across. Yeah, but that one that's this wide is 2 feet off the ground. I do not mind falling 2 feet. But I ain't falling 60 foot for nobody. Amen? So a lot of you, if you would walk 2 feet off the ground, there'd be no, you would, listen, some of you are scared to death about life because you're trying to walk way up there. And when you fall, it's going to hurt. You're so proud and lifted up about your accomplishments. You know in your own heart, your conscience knows if your brain don't, when you fall, it's going to be bad. So at every waking moment, I'm so worried about this, I'm so worried about that. Well, how about coming back down here and walking around? Lo, I am with you always. I just took a verse out of context, amen? And Jesus in heaven is going, amen, preach it. Lo, you can fall from 2 feet, can't you? Don't fall from 60 feet. Stop living up there. I'm the greatest preacher. I'm the greatest. No. Stay down. That's the way to live right there. He said, at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And with many tears and temptations which befell me. I used that as my first point. Which befell me by the lying way to the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Hey, be humble at all seasons. When you're doing bad, stay humble. When you're doing great, stay humble. And then let me say this last of all, verse 21. Testifying to both the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's talking about the gospel there. He's talking about at all seasons, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Hey, Christians, at all seasons, good times, bad times, winter, summer, doesn't make any difference. The Bible says be instant in season and out of season. When Christianity is popular and when Christianity is not popular, we're to be preachers of the Word. You say, well, I'm not called to preach. All of us are called to preach. God help us and God do away with this mystical, I'm called to do this or I'm called to do that. We are all called to be preachers of the Word. We're all called to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all, there's no mystical, magical. It's a straightforward calling that applies at all seasons. Well, I don't much feel like telling nobody about the Lord today. Why don't you do it especially on those days? If you give in on the easy days, then the good days become fair game for apathy. Strength is built in the hard times. It's not built in the good times. Amen? You say, well, I don't want to do too much exercise because... Well, listen, let me tell you this about exercise. Let me tell you this about getting in shape. The first day you could do 10 push-ups easy. I would hope that we could all do 10 push-ups easy. And I don't care about your physical condition. I'm just trying to give you an illustration. You know what's hard? It's the next day when your arms are sore from doing the work yesterday. And then if you do it 2 days in a row, the third day it's even worse. And you think, man, but let me tell you, the third day when everything is sore, that's where the strength begins to build. Because you're working beyond your limits. And when you're working beyond your limits, that's where strength is being built. It's easy when in the good season to be a Christianity. It's easy when a guy down at work, he's kind of religious and his mother was religious and, you know, like it is in Folkestone. My mother was a preacher. Amen. My mother's the pastor of such. You can find that around. You can talk to just about anybody in Folkestone about the Lord because everybody's saved. To hear them tell it, everybody's saved. It's easy. But when you get to a place where they'll spit on you, go up to New York City. And see, that's a different thing. It's a different outlook. Well, they don't like me. They hate me because I'm a Christian. That's when things get rough. And when things get rough, strength gets built. And then you're dealing with hardship and adversity. Then when you start dealing with these people that, you know, they think they're good or they're saved because their grandma was a preacher or they're saved because they've been going to church all their life. Then when you've got the strength to deal with the adversity, then when you start dealing with the fair weather Christians and the fair weather Christianity and the fair weather religion, you've got a stronger sense. Yeah, it's very easy if all you ever witness to is the people who like what you're talking about. The habit tends to become, hey, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Oh, thank God. And walk away. When you're used to dealing with people pushing back and calling you names, then when you go to talk to somebody about, hey, you're a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Great. How did you become a Christian? You would be surprised how much strength it takes, how much force of will it takes to have a guy tell you he's a Christian and then question him on that. Because you're questioning his integrity.
Sure.
It takes something to do that.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is oftentimes the good season Christianity is hindered by not enduring any bad season Christianity. There's something to that. I don't know if I can explain it as well as I ought to. I don't know if I can make you understand it as well as you ought to. But I'm telling you, if you're only going to be a Christian when it's good times, it's going to hurt you. It's not going to help you. You need to go through the hardship. Some of you fellas, if you're only going to enjoy your marriage when there's good times, it's going to hurt you. It's going to end up hurting you. Fair weather friends, they don't last, do they? Sunshine patriots, they talked about during the Revolutionary War. Hey, it's easy to stand in the middle of the town and say, we want our rights, we want our rights. But when there's a gun pointing at you, what kind of patriot are you then? Well, I think I need to go get my weed into the barn and leave this fighting to the fanatics. Well, a lot of Christians are busy getting their weed into the barn while fanatic Christians are out doing what needs to be done. And there's becoming fewer and fewer of those Christians who are willing to be Christians at all season. We need them very much. The Lord that we serve is well worthy. He's well worthy of our constant service in the good times and in the bad. All season Christianity is what we need. Amen. Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and your grace. I pray that this message, God, as weak as it is and as unprepared as I am to preach and all these things working together to the negative, Lord, I pray that you would take what's been said and use it for your glory and use it for your honor. And Lord, I pray that if in any way you could spark something in the hearts and minds of believers to recognize that there's a great need for Christianity at all seasons, then Lord, I thank you for what you'll do in the hearts and minds of these people gathered here this morning. I don't know and I can't speak for all these other churches. I can't do it and really I shouldn't do it, but I can say this. This church needs all weather, all season Christianity, and I pray you'd help us to get it. I pray you'd help me to get it. I pray you'd help me to perfect this thing in my heart and in my mind and help me to be the man that I should, both in my home, for my wife, for my children, for my community, for this church. I pray, God, you'd help me to be the man that I ought to be at all seasons. And I'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.